see the lives that's been touched through this place, through this ministry. And mine's been one of them. I'm forever in debt to you, and I appreciate you, and I love you, and thank God for you. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, this place is needed, and this work is needed, and I commend you on that. I want you to take your Bibles this evening and be finding the book of Joshua, chapter number 10. Joshua, chapter number 10. And when you find your place, if you're willing and able, I'll ask you to stand, and we'll honor and bring you the Word of God. Joshua, chapter number 10. Find verse number 6, Joshua chapter number 10, and verse number 6. Joshua chapter number 10, and verse number 6. If you're there and you're with me this evening, would you let in on the saying, amen?
Amen.
I will say, so the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp, to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Verse number 8, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. The Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Bithhiron, smote them at Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethhoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. The sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. There was no day, notice this, there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I want to preach on this thought tonight for a little bit, help the Lord being my helper tonight. I want to preach on this thought. I'm preaching on, so you've messed up. Now what? You've messed up. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you bless the reading of your word. I pray you give me an unction to preach with. Yeah. I pray, God, that you would do what only thou can do. Take this unworthy vessel, use it for thy glory, and do through me what I don't have the ability to do within myself. For that one that may have walked in here tonight, Lord, and they're in a bad way, in a bad condition. They're in an uphill battle, if you will. And it would seem as though all hope is gone and there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I pray, God, you speak to them in a way that only you can. And I pray, Lord, before we leave tonight, God, they would be in an all-out pursuit in the work of God, and they would get back on the battlefield and go on for the glory of God. Lord, we love you, and we thank you ahead of time for what you're about to do. Should there be one among us that is unsaved tonight, I pray they don't leave the same way they came, but I pray they fall into old-time Holy Ghost conviction, and they find themselves as a place of repentance, and then turn to you, trust you, and be forever changed. We do love you. We thank you ahead of time for what you're about to do. It's in Christ's high, holy name I do humbly pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated this evening. Here in Joshua chapter number 10, we understand that the children of Israel, they have finally arrived into this land of promise, Canaan land, the land that they've been longing for all of those years, the land they've been in pursuit of for all of this time. They have now arrived in that land. Now back in Joshua chapter number 4, if you're a Bible studier, you understand that it was there to where we watched the priests, the Levites, they would carry the Ark of the Covenant down into the river of Jordan, and
generations to come, that maybe years down the road, when those that walk through that that river, maybe when they're dead and gone and there's somebody else that comes along and sees those stones, they would ask the question, what meaning of I these stones? And it would give somebody the opportunity to then begin to explain the goodness of God and the greatness of God and how God has blessed and all that God has done. And in years gone by, may I say that there's a lot of stones around this place. Somebody will say amen right there. I'm talking about there's things that I get to look at today that all before I ever came along, God was already at work and God was moving and doing it. So we understand that they got into that land and set up those memorials, and you would think once they got into that land that everything would be easy, everything would be good. But if you're a Bible student, you understand and know that that's land. It was an occupied land. And so, yes, it was promised to them. Yes, the land belonged to them. God gave it to them. But when they get there, we find it was an occupied land. Therefore, in order to lay hold of it, they was going to have to go and get it. They was going to have to fight for it. Might I say, I still believe there's some things worth fighting for. You can say it right there. I still believe married to marriage is worth fighting for. I still believe your church is worth fighting for. I still believe the gospel is worth fighting for. Amen. I still believe there's some things worth fighting for. And so in order to lay hold to what God has blessed them with and promised to them, they were going to have to go and to fight for it. And so we see the battles begin to take place. Jericho being the first one. And you know what all transpired there. How the people of God, they did as God commanded. They marched around the city and marched around the walls. And just exactly as many times as God said. And they shouted when God said to shout. And they followed the instructions of God. And what they found is that the walls come tumbling down. And they too again became the victorious one in that battle. From there they would go on to Ai. You'd have the battle that would take place in Ai. Once again, we see the people of God would prevail in that battle as well. And so, by this time, everybody began to talk, and there was a talk among the land of Joshua and the people of God. Everybody was talking about how God was fighting for them, and God had His hand upon them, and how they were winning every battle that they were engaging in. And so, when you come to Joshua chapter number 9, of the people of God, they seemed to get a little smarter, so they thought. And what they did was they came up with a plan. Their plan was is that they was going to all get together. They was going to all join forces. And they said that we're more and we're stronger together than we are apart. And it would, from the outside looking in, it would seem like a real good plan. And it would seem like a smart thing to do. But how many of you know this evening, you can't outsmart God. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And I don't care how many you got in your numbers. I don't care who's on your side. If you ain't on God's side, you're going to lose every single time. And although they thought we'd get together and we'll prevail against them, God was for Israel, and therefore you can't outsmart God. The inhabitants of Gibeon, we find in chapter number 9, instead of joining forces with all the other inhabitants of the land, the inhabitants of Gibeon, the Bible says, had their own plan. They decided, instead of making war with Israel, we'll make peace. How many's ever heard the term, if you can't beat them, join them? That's why we got so many Alabama fans over here in East Tennessee right now. Amen. I got behind one on the way home this evening. Made me so mad. You know, I'm sitting there looking at that Roll Tide crimson. I get to bullying. We got a new football coach. We can score a few points now. They're starting to come back and getting on there. But you know, y'all know how it is. If you can't beat them, join them. And so that's what the inhabitants of Gibeon. And they said, well, we can't beat them. We'll just join forces with them. And so what they did was is they disguised themselves as being something that there wasn't. They desired to make a league with Joshua, and they even knew that God had commanded Joshua that he was to show no mercy and he was to make no covenant with them. And so what they did was is they acted like there was somebody that wasn't.
Amen.
They began to Now, you understand there's a lot of places tonight from the outside looking in and from the world's perspective. It sounds really good and it looks really good and people are flocking to them by the droves. But just because it sounds good and just because it looks good don't mean it is good. So here's Joshua. Now here's where he messes up. Here's what I want you to see. Here's where he messes up. As the inhabitants of Gibeon come and they tell him the story and give their proposition to the man of God. Notice this. You read chapter number 9, what you'll find is Joshua never seeks the Lord. He never seeks the face of God for direction. He never seeks the face of God for instruction or for wisdom or for guidance. But rather, he decides that he'll go off his own feelings. He'll go off his own thinking and wisdom and thoughts in himself. And in verse number 15 of chapter number 9, the Bible says that he made a peace with them. He made a league with them to let them live. He then finds out in the remainder of the chapter, he then finds out that it was all a lie. When he finds it out, he's heartbroken. He's mad. He's upset. But the damage has already been done. The league has been made between the two parties. And so when you get to chapter number 10, all these other kings have now heard what's taking place. How that the inhabitants of Gibeon, they have made a peace with Joshua and the people of God. And so now they decide, before we go after Joshua, we're going to go after the inhabitants of Gibeon. And so that brings us to our text, chapter number 10. Gibeon, as they are facing the attack from the other inhabitants of the land, they now send word to Joshua. And they seek his help. They're asking for help. And because of the so-called treaty that was made, Joshua was basically required in this case that he was to help them in this situation. So Joshua, he goes up to them in verse number 7. The Bible says he and all the people of war and all the mighty men of valor. Can you imagine what's going through the mind of Joshua? Here he is, and things are going good. They finally arrive in the land that God has promised them, the land they've been longing for, and in pursuit of for all of this time. They got there. God was blessing. They were winning battle after battle. Things were going really good. But then all of a sudden, Joshua makes a mistake. I don't believe it was intentional. I just believe that he wasn't. No, he let his guard down just a little bit, didn't pay attention, didn't focus, and made a decision based off his own desires and his own wants, and he didn't seek the face of God. As a result, it has now put him in a bad situation, in a bad, surrounded by bad circumstances, and now he is on his way to fight in a battle that he didn't even set to raise. He's now got to go fight in a battle, not on his terms, but on somebody else's terms. Watch this now. Watch this. When you get too close to the enemy and you start making deals with the enemy, you're going to find yourself fighting in battles that you shouldn't be fighting.
Amen.
That's one of the problems we face in the church today, among many Christians today, is when you start holding hands with the world and you start making a league with the world and making peace with the enemy, you're going to find yourself in a bad situation and fighting battles you wouldn't even have to fight in the first place if you'd have just stayed with God.
Amen.
Stayed with God. Now some would look at this and they would say, well, I don't understand why this is such a big deal, because they came and they said they were coming in the name of the Lord, and why they were still the enemy. I mean, they wanted peace. Think that a good thing? They mentioned that they were coming in the name of the Lord because they had heard what God had done and how that God was fighting for his people and he was blessing. You say, what is wrong with that? Well, just because somebody says they're coming in the name of the Lord, I mean, they are. We talked about it this morning. Just because somebody says they're on the way to heaven, how many are going to heaven, friend?
Amen.
You're on the Broadway, you're going to end up where the Broadway ends up. And if you find out what you find out, chapter number 9, verse number 4, you'll find that they had bad intentions. They portrayed a certain image, but on the inside, who they really were, it was not good. The bottom line, Joshua messed up. He didn't seek the Lord. He got played by the enemy, and now he's in a bad situation as a result of it. Now he's going to fight in a battle that he didn't even make the terms on. And so, here's my question. How do you ask God for help after you messed up? How do you ask God to help you in a situation that God didn't put you in that situation? You put yourself in it. You're the one that messed up. You're the one that didn't ask God. You were the one following after your desires. What do you do when you messed up? Number one, I want you to notice tonight, I find in the text, number one, what do you do when you mess up? Number one, you got to move forward. The worst thing you can do after making a mistake or making a mess out of things is to stay in the mess that you have made. Notice in verse number 7 what the Bible says. In verse number 7, the Bible says, so Joshua descended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Here's what I like about Joshua. Even though he's messed up, even though he's made a mistake, even though he's made a bad decision, put himself in a bad situation, here's what I like about it. He owns up to it and he just moves forward out of trying to do the right thing from that moment forward. He begins to move forward. I've dealt with some people after they, some people that's made a mistake and they've made a bad decision, a wrong turn, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know it ain't nobody like that in here. Y'all are perfect. I understand that. But to us other dirty dogs, we lie to make a bad choice every now and then. And I've dealt with some of them people, and here's what breaks my heart is I've dealt with some of them, and they have the mentality or the idea of, well, I've already messed up, so what's the point? Yeah. I've already made a bad choice. I've already made a mistake. And so what's the point of moving forward and trying to do the right now? I'm going to just keep going down the path I'm going. That's the dumbest thing you can do. As a result, their life don't get better, it gets worse. Imagine that. And so here he is. He's made a mistake. He's messed up, but he makes the decision to move forward and to do the right thing, even though his mistake has put him in a bad situation. And in the process of doing so, notice in verse number 8, the Bible says that the Lord sent a word by his way, and he said unto Joshua, I fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Here's what I like about this. I see two things that take place. Number one, Joshua moves first, not God. Joshua moves, then God moves. Joshua made the decision to move forward and to do right, and then it was that God sent a word to Joshua. Amen. Just you say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, I got New Testament for you, too. I think the Bible says it like this. Draw nigh unto God,
Amen. And
then he will draw nigh unto thee. Stop waiting on God to move in your life, and you go ahead and make a decision. You're going to move forward and do right as a result of it. And don't expect God to move if you ain't willing to move yourself.
Amen.
Joshua moves first, and then God moves. And then number two, I see that the Lord speaks to Joshua.
Amen.
The Lord speaks to Joshua, not Joshua unto the Lord. It is not as important as to what you say to God as it is in what God says to you. Can I get a witness right there? Boy, yeah, we're good about coming up here and telling God this, that, and other, but what's really important is what's God got to say to you. I notice this, how God is speaking unto Joshua. By the way, I might say this, I'm glad that God can get a word to you and I in the middle of our storms. I'm glad that God, even in the middle of our mess, even in the middle of our mistakes, even in the middle of our bad decisions, God can still get a word down into our blood, down into our hearts. He decides to move forward. He decides to do what's right. And then notice God sends a word to him. And then in verse number 9, notice what the Bible says. Joshua, therefore, came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. That word, therefore, that's a word in result of. As a result of what has just taken place, then this happens. Notice the change that takes place in the life of Joshua. As a result of what has just happened, he goes now in an all-out pursuit all night long into a battle where he's outnumbered, into a battle that he don't even want to be fighting to begin with, into a battle he didn't even make the terms of, but now, I mean, it was a battle he was dreading to go to. It was a battle he didn't even want to go to, but now, after verse number 8, now he's in a hurry to get there. That's what the Word of God will do to you.
Amen.
I mean, I know what it's like to be in the middle of the week somewhere. I mean, you so beat up, you so, moping around and don't know how you're going to make it. All of a sudden, God can send a word your way, and you can't wait to go for another round and go another mile. That's what the Word of God will do.
Amen.
No doubt beforehand, he was probably on that path to that battle thinking, man, what have I got myself into? Sends a word to him. Now he's over there looking at his men saying, hey guys, hey boys, get up. We got to go. We can't take no rest. We got to go. And it was an all-out pursuit. What do you do when you've messed up? You turn around and you go all out in the direction that God told you to go. That's what you do. You go all out in the direction that God told you to go. I mean, don't flirt around with it. Don't mess around with it. Don't tinker with it. Your mind settled on the fact this is where God wants you to go. This is clear as to what God has said and purpose in your heart by the grace of God, that with everything that is within you, you're going to serve God, you're going to follow God, you're going to worship God, and you're going to give your all for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's killing us today? You know what's killing many Christians and many churches today? It's just half-hearted Christianity. I mean, it's half-heartedness, you know. I mean, you in one day and out the next, and you're on the battlefield, but you ain't even got your sword in your hand. I mean, you camping out back here, and you're kind of in and you're kind of out. You're kind of straddling the fence. I'm going to tell you, friend, what do us more some awesome good tonight? Go ahead and make your mind up. We're just going to go on for the glory of God. If you're going to sing for Jesus, sing for Jesus. If you're going to preach, then preach for him. Amen. If you're going to serve God, serve God. If you're going to teach, teach. If you're going to praise him, praise him. If you're going to worship, then worship. If you're going to go to church, then go to church. And don't do it half-hearted. Don't do it just part of the time. But go in an all-out pursuit in the direction that God has told you to go. This change that takes place in the life of Joshua, it would do us some good to desperately take place in our life today. I know we're in a situation nowadays where you look outside these walls and it looks as though we're outnumbered. Like there's no hope. But you get in this book and you read what God says. And it'll help you get in all out pursuit for the glory of God.
Amen.
He's in an all out pursuit. Lastly, I see the impossible miracle that takes place. Notice in verse number 10. The Bible says that the Lord discomfited them before Israel. He slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. He chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-Horon and smote them at Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down from Beth-Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. That the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. Might I say this tonight? What's impossible with men is possible with God.
Amen.
I mean, they're in a situation, they don't look like they ain't no hope they're going to win this battle. And then all of a sudden, God stands up in the balcony of heaven and starts casting stones. And by the way, notice these hailstones, they only hit the enemy.
Amen.
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 They only hit the enemy. May I remind you that you may be here tonight, you may be facing that, you may be in a situation you say, well, there's just We see that they started losing. Notice this, when the enemy started losing, the enemy started running away.
Amen.
I believe the Bible says it like this, resist the devil and he will flee from you. By the way, you know what the word resist means? Fight. That's not debate. It's fight. Fight. The enemy starts fleeing from them. They're running out of time. You read the rest of this text and we understand that, yes, they're becoming victorious and they're winning in the battle, but the reality is the sun's going down. And the way things are looking, they're not going to be able to get a hold of all of them. And if it gets dark, some's still going to escape. And there's no way they're going to get a hold of them. Watch this now. Notice the difference. Beforehand, Joshua didn't seek the Lord. But now he finds himself in a different situation. In a different place. And notice this time, Joshua sought the face of God. And he sought after the Lord. And he said, "Sun, stand still." And the Bible says that God held the sun in its place for a whole day.
Amen.
Until they had utterly destroyed the enemy. God held the sun in its place. How do you believe what we just read? I mean, I believe that. God held the sun. I'm talking about God. That's the God we serve. He still holds it in his hands tonight. By the way, when they were establishing, they tell me, when they were establishing our calendar, the years, the months, the weeks, and the days, they say that many scientists, they was having trouble coming up with certain amount of time, 24 hours. They were struggling to find the day. May I say, I found it.
Yep.
In Joshua chapter number 10. God held the sun in its place.
Amen.
You know what I love about this story? Here's what I love. It reminds you and I that you can still have victory after defeat.
Amen.
You can still have victory after defeat. Joshua, in chapter 9, he gets played by the enemy. If you want to say it like this, the enemy had the upper hand in chapter number 9. But yet Joshua got his heart right, made the right decision to do the right thing. God honored him as a result of it. And in chapter number 10, Joshua is standing as the victorious one.
Amen.
What do you do when you mess up? Move forward.
Amen.
Do right. You can't change the past. I can't change them. These places I go, God, help, y'all don't know me up here, and that's a good thing. I like preaching in places where people don't know me, but there's a lot of places I go and I preach to, they knew me from way back. And I walk in them places, and they can tell you all kinds of stories on me from back home. And I don't like that. But I tell you what, that's a healthy thing, because it reminds you of where God brought you from.
Amen.
I don't like mistakes. I don't like messing up. I don't like doing the wrong thing. I don't like that. But the fact of the matter is, we're all going to make some mistakes along the way. The fact of the matter is, there's going to come a time where you're going to think you've got everything under control and you got it going in the right direction and you think you got it under control going the right way, and instead of seeking God, you're going to make a decision on your own ability, on your own desires, your own wisdom. As a result, it's going to you up in a bad situation. What do you do? You move forward. You choose right. You follow after God. So you've messed up. Now what? Don't stay where you're at. Move forward. Serve God. You're still breathing, ain't you? God's got a plan for you. God's got a work for you. God's got something for you to do. He's just waiting on you to move. God's got a word just for you to go out in all that pursuit in the service of the work of God, for the glory of God. Watch this now. Joshua's best day came after he made a mistake. Bible says there was no day like this before it, nor after it. That didn't happen before he messed up. It happened after he messed up. Just because you messed up still don't mean that your best day is not ahead of you. Go on for the glory of God. Keep serving God. Keep honoring God. Keep worshiping God. So you've messed up. move forward. They have yet to follow after thy will and thy ways. I pray tonight, by the grace of God, Lord, I pray you speak to them. I pray tonight be the night that they take their foot and they move it forward in the right direction. They follow after you in an all-out pursuit. Thank you for your presence.